Welcome to the Victor Orlando Podcast. We exist to reach people with the life-giving message of Jesus and to connect them with their purpose. To learn more about us, visit us at victoryorlando.com. Thanks for listening. We pray that you are encouraged and inspired by today's message.
We're going to begin this new series entitled Running with the Giants. So I want to ask you to take out your message notes that you received on your way in on the back of your worship guide, and you can follow along as we look at some of the giants of the faith over these next 6 weeks. That as you look at the Bible, there's going to be some things that God speaks to you, some things that he reveals to you that will help you in your life. And what I found is as you read through the Bible, how many of you know there's a lot of things that you can look at and not understand? There are some things that you can ponder in life. And, you know, there's a lot of opportunities in life where you hear something or you look at something, you don't have full understanding. And so before we get into the Word of God today, I thought about a few funny things that we could ponder in life. How many of you know there are some things that just don't make sense, right? Like this, for instance, let me give you one of these to ponder. And it's okay to have fun in church for those of you that think this is not very church-like. But let me just encourage you. You know, I was thinking about how that lipstick is really named incorrectly because every time a woman puts it on, their lips don't stick. Isn't that interesting? Think about this. The number two pencil is actually number two, even though it's the best pencil. Have you ever understood that in school? They make you get a number two pencil. However, it's number two, not number one. Here's another one that's really deep. I know some of you are like, whoa, that's really deep. Here's one. Evolutionists, not me. Evolutionists say we came from apes. If so, why do apes still exist? I mean, come on. Where did it stop? Of course, we don't believe that, but evolutionists do. And here's one that's really deep for those of you that want to play this game with me. That is this. Have you ever wondered at a baseball game, they sing the song, take me out to the, and you're already there? Come on, that's deep, right? I mean, ponder on that for a while. I mean, how did that ever start? Take me out to the ball game. I'm already here. It should be, I'm glad I'm at the ball game or something else. On a serious note, there are a lot of things in the Word of God that as you read it at face value, sometimes you don't understand it. Sometimes it could just go over your head. Sometimes you can hear from God or things about God that you don't fully understand. And so over the course of this series on running with the giants, here's really two things that I believe are going to happen over each of these weeks. Number one, you're going to be encouraged. You're going to be encouraged in your life and the calling that God has upon your life. You're going to be encouraged in the purpose and the plan that he has for you. You're going to be encouraged when you read about some of the things he's done in the past to have an expectation for what God wants to do in the future. The second thing that I believe is going to happen is you're going to help to learn the Bible in a greater way. You're going to learn things about the Bible and men and women of faith who've gone before us that will encourage you. So being encouraged and learning the Bible, those are two good things. And that's what I pray is going to happen over today and over the course of this series. If you follow along with me, we're going to turn to Hebrews chapter 12, starting in verse 1. This is a foundational verse that will help set the stage for what we're going to look at with these giants of the faith. It starts out and says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Now, let me just stop right there. Anytime in the Bible you see this word, therefore, you need to know what it's there for. All right. And when the word therefore is used, it's usually referencing something that has already been stated. Now, for you and I, in our Bibles, we have chapters and verses to help us, especially in the Western world, help us to categorize and to find things in a quick way because we don't like things to be slow, right? Can you imagine if I said, turn in your Bibles to, you know, word number 5,642 and you had to find it by counting all of the words? That would take you a long time. So thankfully, after the books were written and canonized and put together in the script that we now have as the Bible, they put chapters and verses with them. But in the original context of the letters and the books that were written, they just wrote them just like you and I would write a letter. Now, it may have a different heading here or there, but they didn't have the chapters and verses all written out. And so as the writer of Hebrews is writing this passage of scripture, he's referencing to something that he already said. And if we look back in Hebrews chapter 11, we see what he was talking about. He was talking about what we know as the Hall of Fame of faith. In chapter 11 of Hebrews, this is where we talk about how that by faith, Moses, by faith, Abraham, by faith, Noah, by faith. And it lists out men and women of God who by faith saw amazing things in the face of impossible situations. They saw amazing results, how God came through for them. And so Hebrews 11 talks all about this. Now in Hebrews chapter 12, he says this phrase, therefore, since we're surrounded. So the thing that we're surrounded by is the great men and women who've gone before us that we know from the Bible, but also from history, who have done great things for God. Now it calls them in the Bible here this cloud of witnesses. Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders, the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us. So consider this. Consider that each of us have a race to run. That each of us in our own individual lives, we have a race to run. You have a race to run. I have a race to run. And the Bible is encouraging us here is that as you run your race, you're not running by yourself. In fact, you have people cheering you on. And some of the people that are cheering you on, you may have never met. You might have just read about them. Some of the people cheering you on, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, those from the early days, the beginning, 4,000 years ago, even further than that, some of them, they're cheering you on in your race. And so what we're going to examine over these next few weeks is we're going to examine some of these men and women of faith as if they came out of the grandstands of heaven and were to run a lap in your life. If they were to run a lap in your life, what would be the encouragement that they would give you? Have you ever thought about that? If Abraham was walking here on the earth together today with you in your life, what would he encourage you with? If Isaac was here, if Moses was walking with you, the one that helped to part the Red Sea, led the Israelites out of Egypt, if he came to just spend a day in the life of Job, what would he tell you? If he came just to hang out with you and in the midst of raising your children and going to work and serving in the kingdom of God, what would some of those instructions be? How many of you think that if somebody like that came to spend some time with you, it would probably help you out? Don't you think? It would help you out. It would give you a sense of understanding. It would build your faith. And that's what we're going to look at over these next few weeks so that our faith can be built. So today I want to talk to you about the giant named Isaiah. Isaiah was a great prophet, a prophet in the land at a time in history where Israel really needed some prophets to keep it going. They had been through, they had been through oppression. They had been in captivity. And Isaiah was a man of God on the scene, helping them to kind of get a resurgence of faith and hope and expectation, helping them to understand that God is still on their side. And so I want us to study Isaiah. Do you know Isaiah the prophet? He was around about 800 years before Jesus was ever born. So this is quite a while before Christ would ever come onto the scene, before the Messiah would ever walk the earth. But yet Isaiah, the prophet, and the Bible talks about several different prophets, and in our particular way that the Bible is listed, we have it by sections. So we have some poetry sections, we have some numerical sections, we have some of the chronological history, and then we also have a prophet section. So Isaiah is in one of the prophet sections that help us to understand what God is saying. And if you want to know more about Isaiah and the time frame in which he lived, you can go back to 2 Kings and you can read about what was happening in Israel at the time when Isaiah was alive. But in the book of Isaiah, which is the longest of all the prophetic books, there's 66 chapters in the book of Isaiah, we see Isaiah speaking of things about the Messiah that no one else said. No other book in the Bible says things like Isaiah said. In fact, Isaiah saw the coming Messiah and prophesied it. Isaiah saw the crucifixion. Isaiah saw the resurrection. Isaiah saw that Jesus was going to come to the earth, the Messiah, that he would be bruised, that he would be beaten. Isaiah saw this in the Spirit. God showed him this, and then he wrote it out so that when Jesus would be born, that it would be a prophetic understanding. This was not just God's idea in that moment, that God's been thinking of this for generations. And friends, sometimes we need to just understand that God knows about our situation before we ever walk into that situation. And when we study people like Isaiah in the Bible, we should be encouraged because God helps us at all times and in all seasons. And there's a verse in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21, that I want us to look at that I think it would help us to summarize what Isaiah might say to us today. No matter what your life may look like up to this point, Isaiah says this: whether you turn to the right or you turn to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, "This is the way, walk in it." So wherever you are in life, if you're turning to the right or you're turning to the left, Isaiah would say, you know what? Don't worry about whether you're to the right or to the left, but listen for the voice. What's the voice behind you saying? And walk in that way. Another thing that I think Isaiah would say, and that would help us to summarize this today, is, and that is this: an encounter with God can change everything. An encounter with God can change everything. I want to read about one of Isaiah's encounters in Isaiah chapter 6 that will help you and I to look at some things and help us in our life. Verse 1, it says this: in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. Now, if we stop right there, we need to understand Uzziah was actually one of the good kings. Later on in life, he got a sickness. He had some challenges that he went through and he ended up dying. But he was a king from about the age 16 to the age of 52. And so here, Isaiah, the prophet, was alive during his tenure as king. And during this particular time frame, that wouldn't have been a good thing. If one of your friends was king and then he dies, that's not a very bright day. That's a dark day. That's a difficult time. But in this particular instance, the Bible says that in the year that King Uzziah died, that Isaiah saw the Lord. That means that no matter what you've been through, no matter what you've experienced, you can still have an encounter with God. No matter what setback you've come from, no matter what difficulty you're walking in right now, you're only one moment away from everything changing. You're only one moment away from an encounter with God that can reveal brand new things in your life. Let's listen to how it happened for Isaiah. It says, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne. He's high. He's lifted up. The train of his robe was filling the temple. Above him stood a seraphim, which is one of the types of angels. Above him, there was this angel. It had six wings, two covering the face, two covering the feet, two with those he flew. And one cried to another saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door were shaken, and the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, now this is Isaiah speaking. So I said, woe is me. In other words, I have issues. Come on, how many of you can relate to Isaiah? I have issues. I'm undone. I'm not prepared for what I'm experiencing right now. For what I see about who God is, I am not worthy. But that's okay. It's okay if you're not worthy. None of us are. God didn't pick you because you're worthy, because you're smart enough, because you're good enough, or because you're qualified enough. God picked you because he created you. You're his child, and you don't have to have it all figured out. He says, look, I can't do this because I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of people, so I'm messed up, and the people I'm around are also messed up. My eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And then one of the angels flew to him, having his hand on the live coal which he had taken from the altar of the Lord. And he placed it on his mouth and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity, your shame, your guilt, your sin has been purged. And I also heard the voice of the Lord saying this: whom shall I send and who will go for us? So here Isaiah is having this encounter with God. I'm not worthy. I am undone. I am not fit to be used by God. But then God comes and says, look, I've taken some things from the altar of heaven and I've touched your life. And now you're a different person. You may feel like you're undone. You may feel like you're unqualified. But God stepped into Isaiah's life and said, look, I'm qualifying you right now. Some of you just need to go home remembering that word today, that God has already qualified you, that God is not qualifying you based on what you can do or have done. God's qualifying you based on what Jesus has done. He's qualifying you based on the fact that you're his creation. And the more you understand that, the better your life will get. In fact, Isaiah understood in this moment, and when God was looking at the situations on the earth, Isaiah heard this conversation in heaven, and he says, wait a minute, God just asked, who's going to go? Who can I send? And then Isaiah said, here I am, you can send me. Isn't that interesting that he didn't have to go to Bible school for 14 years to be used by God? Isn't that interesting that he wasn't a member of the first whatever type of church for 15 years to be used by God? In fact, in a moment, he went from a man who was undone, who was woeful about his situation, to a man who now sees himself differently and can be used by God. Friends, I don't know what your excuse is. I don't know what's been holding you back or trying to push you down. But I can tell you this. God doesn't see you for what you've been through. God sees you for what you're called to do. God sees you for your potential. He sees you for why you were created. He sees you for the destiny. He sees you not in the middle of your stuff, but he sees you stepping out of that stuff and doing great things for the kingdom of God. That's what we see here from Isaiah. So I could have titled this message, I guess, since last week we talked about the ultimate comeback. I could have titled this message, The Ultimate Game Changer, because the ultimate game changer is an encounter with God. An encounter with God will change everything about your situation, about your circumstance. I can tell you this in my own life. I can honestly tell you that when I had an encounter with God at 17 years of age, all of those other things that I thought were important suddenly changed. All the stuff that I thought was important, getting with this type of person or achieving this type of things in sports or accumulating these kind of things in my life, suddenly all of that changed. And I realized, you know what? One encounter with God can change everything. When I begin to understand that what God's plan for my life is so much bigger than what I would desire in the natural. Amen. And friends, it's the same for every single one of us. That God has something for your life, for your family, for your marriage, for your business. That you may have one expectation, but God has a higher expectation. And so you can just get your mind a little higher to where God's is, and you'll see him change and do things in and through your life that you could have never dreamed of. You know, Pastor Casey Treed, who's one of our overseers here, has been here to preach a few times. I love how he shares his testimony. He shared it here with us. He shares it everywhere that he goes. How that as a young person, a teenager, he was, you know, strung out on drugs and was trying to get better. He went to this rehab house, and when he walked into rehab, someone looked at him and said, Big Red, you can change. He said, my entire life, I've never heard anyone tell me that you could change. He said, that one statement changed me. And he wanted to know, what was it about this individual that would give him such confidence to believe that someone who was a teenager hooked on drugs could change in a moment? He said, and that person introduced me to Jesus, and it changed my life. One encounter with God can change everything. Now, almost 40 years later, having pastored the church for 36 years, thousands of people, one of the largest churches in the Pacific Northwest, people getting saved every single week. But it started in a rehab facility with someone who knew God, who looked at a young person who didn't look that great in the moment and said, you know what? You can change. Friends, an encounter with God can change everything. From Isaiah the prophet, we realize a few things. You can jot these down on your worship guide there if you're following along. First is this. We realize that our greatest pain can be catalyst for our greatest gain. That our greatest pain can be a catalyst for our greatest gain. Isaiah 6:1 says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. In the midst of pain, I still had an encounter with God. In the midst of the problem, I still saw a promise. It's much like working out. For those of you that have ever worked out in your life, in the moment of working out, it's not that exciting sometimes. In fact, if you really work out, there is some pain that's involved. I remember one time I was running sprints, and the coach, you know, we had probably ran 14 or 15 sprints down and back, down and back, down and back. And we're running 45 minutes in the preseason, and coach says, all right, we're going to go 5 more times. How many of you know when you've just run for like 45 minutes and he says you're going to go 5 more times, you don't think you can make it. I remember walking over to the side, throwing up, and then getting back on the line. And then, okay, one more time. And then afterwards, the coach says, do you know why we ran so hard today in the preseason? So that when we get into the regular season, we're in the middle of the game and it's the fourth quarter. You're not going to quit on me. You're not going to be tired. And so you go through sometimes a season of pain, sometimes through your own choices, sometimes through the environment that you're in or the situation, sometimes the enemy comes against you, but whatever that is, your pain can be a catalyst for your greatest gain in life. What I've found is that God never will throw stuff on you, but he'll always use whatever you've been in the middle of. God is not your problem. He's not mad at you. He's not trying to strike you down. But wherever you are in life, God will find you in that place. Even if your life is at pieces and you've gone through pain and terrible situations, God will look at that and say, you know what? I can use that, and I can use that, and I can use that. And he starts gathering those pieces together and forming a beautiful masterpiece, which is your life. Do you know some of the greatest people that have the most compassion on others are those who have been through abuse themselves? Are those who have gone through difficulty, those who have gone through rough times. And sometimes out of your greatest pain, it can be a catalyst for your greatest gain. Do you know, right here in this church, we have one gentleman who over 30 years ago, he lived a completely different life. In fact, he found himself incarcerated at a young age in prison for a long time. And while he was in prison, he had an encounter with Jesus. Some people shared Jesus with him, and he gave his heart to the Lord. Through a series of circumstances, he shares how that it was a miracle that he had this 15 or 20 year sentence, but somehow in just a few years, they let him out of prison because he was such a changed man. His life completely turned another direction, and he has served the Lord through that experience. But just recently, I was so encouraged when he came to me and he shared how that in just a couple weeks, he's been certified to go back into prison. This time, not because he has to, but because he wants to. This time, not because a judge says to, but this time because he wants to help people just like him. He took a season of his greatest pain, and now he's using it as a catalyst to help gain some people for the kingdom of God. Reach out to people who've made wrong mistakes, who found themselves in the wrong place, and God can take whatever pain you've gone through, and he can use it for your greatest gain. It may be difficult, it may be hard, but here's what I want to encourage you. In those seasons, in those times, you have a choice. Sometimes people, when they go through pain, they turn to a bottle, they turn to an addiction, they turn to a stronghold, they turn to a psychic, they turn from God, whatever it is. But the most important thing when you're in a time of pain is, where do you turn? Friends, I want to encourage you, turn to God. Turn to God in every season. We all have seasons that are difficult or questions that you don't have answers for. But in the midst of that time, turn to God. The best place that you can turn is turn to God. The second thing we realize from Isaiah is this, that when we see God clearly, we see ourselves clearly. Isn't that interesting? Because we're God's creation, that when we see him clearly, we begin to see things in our life in a clearer way. So here's a question to consider. How do you view God? Do you view him as a loving father? Do you view him as someone who accepts you? Do you view him as someone who has a perfect and amazing plan for your life? Or do you view him like someone else who's mistreated you? Do you view him like someone who has disappointed you? Friends, God will not disappoint. God only appoints. God will not take you out. God's trying to lift you up. God, if you're trying to be taken out, it's not God. If you're disappointed, that's not God. God wants to encourage. God wants to appoint. God wants to affirm you because you're his children. You're his creation. And so God is trying to help you. And when you see God clearly, you begin to see yourself in the right way. So how do you see God? I know Sarah and I have experienced this on missions as we've gone to different places, especially in situations where children or young people have gone through abuse or been abandoned or gone through some terrible, devastating circumstances. And as we've talked with people who work in these environments in Asia and different parts of the world, they share how that, especially in the case of, let's say, a child who's been abandoned or abused or gone through difficult times, they say that there's a season of transition, that they have to take that kid when they receive that kid off of the streets, a street child or something, they have to take them into a season of transition because many times if they try to place them just into a normal environment with other kids, they are angry, they get upset, there's a lot of trouble that happens. So they said usually we have to place them in another environment for a season of transition. And I said, well, why do you do that? They said, because we have to retrain their minds. We have to get them to see that not everybody's out for them. We have to get them to see that not everybody's trying to use them. We have to get them to see that God loves them, that he has a plan for their life. We have to get them to see themselves the way that God sees them. And that's what happens in these seasons and times of transition. In fact, I want to share one story with you. I think they're going to put the picture up of my friend Lila right here in the middle. You see that beautiful smile, that girl in the green shirt? This is Lila. And about 5 years ago, I met Lila when she had just been rescued off the streets in the town of Maesod, Thailand and Burma border. And they rescued her off of the streets, similar situation. Parents had abandoned her. She, you know, was just living on the streets, and she was, somehow making it on the streets and really in a terrible situation. The government brought her to one of the homes that we partner with over there in Asia. And I met her just a few weeks after that. And she was really, they said she doesn't get along well with any of the other kids. And so I remember seeing her. She had a lot of energy. She had a lot of excitement. But you could tell she was always trying to get into some trouble. And after being there for 6 or 8 months, it was amazing how they said her countenance began to change. After that, they've brought her into an environment where she's now living in a home with some other kids and some house parents who've taken care of her for the last 5 years. But it's amazing now to see the difference in her countenance. You see that beautiful smile? And it was fun the last time we went over to Asia and dedicated one of the homes over there. She was right there with the rest of them singing praise songs and worshiping God. Talking about how that I was once abandoned, but God didn't forget me. Talking about how that God loves me, that he has a plan for my life, and worshiping God. You see, when you see clearly God in the right way, then you begin to see yourself differently. And do you know what? God has an amazing plan and purpose for that little girl's life. And part of the process is just beginning to see, God, you're my father. God, you take care of me. You work in my life. And friends, I want to encourage you. Maybe you've viewed God incorrectly. Maybe you have viewed God in light of what's happened to you instead of what he has said about you. And you can be encouraged today that you can see God for who he is. See that your God, the creator of everything, created you to be a masterpiece. That you are not here by default, but you are here by divine assignment. That God has a purpose and a plan for your life. And that more clearly you see God for who he is, as a loving father, as a perfect creator, then the better your life gets, not the worse it gets. Because God has the best in store for our lives. The last thing here I realize that we learn from Isaiah is that God can remove our past and he can redeem our future. He can remove whatever your past looks like and he can redeem your future. Isaiah 6, verses 6 through 8 says, and the angels took the coal from the altar and took away the sin. You see, God can redeem your past and he can help you to walk in to your future. Here's my challenge for you today. Settle your yesterday. Settle whatever things have gone on in your life from yesterday so that God can help you walk in to today. Settle whatever things have held on to you from yesterday so that God can open up a bright and shining tomorrow in your life. The question to consider is, when you think of your past, what are you still holding on to? What are you holding on to that God wants to release you of? What are you holding on to that God's already paid the price for? If it's guilt, shame, unforgiveness, sin, whatever that is, God's already paid the price for it by sending Jesus to the earth. So if you're holding on to it, it's not because he wants you to have it. It's because you're deciding to hold on to it. Friends, God wants to remove those things from your past so he can redeem your future and help you to walk in the best days that he has in store for you. And I want to encourage you with these last three scriptures as we get ready to pray. Isaiah 55 and verse 6 says this, seek the Lord that he may be found. Do you know what? God wants to reveal more of himself to you. As you seek the Lord, he'll be found. But what you have to do is you have to go all in. The second verse is Isaiah 1, 18 and 19. It says, those that are willing and obedient will eat the good of the land. You know what that tells me? That tells me that God wants to change you. That God won't leave you where you are, but that God wants to change you. So allow God to change you on a regular basis. Just like remodeling of a house. Sometimes there's some fixing that needs to happen. Sometimes there's a whole wall that needs to come down. But God wants to change you. He wants to change you into his image, into his likeness. The last thing I see here, verse Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 to 3, it says this. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Darkness covers the earth and deep darkness on the people, but the Lord will arise over you. His glory will be seen, listen, on you. You know what that tells me? That God has an assignment for you. God has an assignment for you. God has a perfect plan for you. And the glory of the Lord will be risen upon you. God wants you to understand that whatever things have been trying to hold you down, God wants to pick you up. Whatever things have been trying to overwhelm you, that God wants to give you an overcoming strength and power, the power of the Holy Spirit, so that you can understand there's an assignment for my life. When we arise and when we shine, it's amazing what happens. Please remember this today, that an encounter with God changes everything. So my question for you is, what area of your life do you need God to have an encounter with you so that everything can change? You receive that word today? Would you bow your heads and close your eyes?